The fire made that open, by the devil we return. Insanity or glory in a mind that never learns. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go. Kill the inside and let it burn. It's not the only will. Kill the inside and let it burn. The empty eyes are falling down the path of no return. In blindness he wonders if his mind will ever learn. A moment of something where the dark can reverse. Tell the lonely where to go.
So, welcome to Endpoint Sight, Jeremy from Kentucky on your Thursday night broadcast on Republic Broadcasting Network. Please go to republicbroadcasting.org, smash the donate button, send the fundage. You can mail it in or call it in. Your check or money orders can be mailed, paid to RBN and mailed to 2251 Double Creek Drive, Suite 302, Round Rock, Texas 78664. Call that debit or credit card number into Mike, and he'll take your money. Have a Thursday night broadcast with my co-host, the Red Pillar, the heavyweight champion of all Red Pills.
I must break you.
William Repellum, welcome to the show. How are you tonight?
Hey, Jeremy. Thank you for the nice intro again. Appreciate it. Boom! Knock them out with some red pills. We got some red pills for you tonight. We got some more red pills.
We got some red pills.
All day. You've had lots already. We'll give you some more. Some originals.
We've got red pills, but you know what we need? Our green bills. So please send your money in. If you want to remain anonymous, you can wrap it up in tinfoil or something and mail it in to Mike. I think that's called well-concealed cash. And just get the money in here. We want to keep this platform alive. William, you correct me if I'm wrong, but tomorrow we are interviewing. We are going to be hosting the National Intel Report. And we're going to be interviewing Dennis Wise and Mike King. Is that correct?
Yeah. So, yep, we have at 5 to 7 p.m. Central Time on the National Intel Report, we will be interviewing Dennis Wise, who just came out with the Secret Masonic Victory of World War II DVD set. Three DVDs, 5.5 hours. Fantastic insights into the Freemason victory of World War II, but it spans across, you know, it's not just World War II, but it scopes portions of history that make a lot of things, bring a lot of things to light, and it's very enlightening and very disturbing at the same time. Mike King, yes, will also be joining us tomorrow for the first hour
of Real History Channel.
Yes. Also, the Bad War. This is going to be a really interesting discussion.
And so, of course, Dennis Wise, more familiar to the RBN audience, as the producer, the producer of Greatest Story Never Told. And John Stadtmuller featured he did like a 5-night show basically on Jewish Power with that, after he watched that documentary. So I don't remember when that was, Mike. I think that was 2015, I believe, when John did that. He did this whole series on Zionism and Jewish Power in World War II after he watched that documentary.
The original Zionism Power thing is from 2009. I'm going to look up and see what he did with the Greatest Story Never Told.
I know he addressed it
earlier, or more current.
And from what I can gather, I mean, Greatest Story Never Told was like somewhere around 2015, I think, when it came out.
Yeah, 2015.
And, you know, David Duke was featured in one of the episodes of Greatest Story Never Told. He made a statement on video. And it was shortly after that that John Stadtmuller interviewed David Duke. To my knowledge, it was the first time. And I can't find that on archives, but it is out there on the internet. I remember reading it, but it's not in the RBN National Intel archives. But those two great men did end up being able to talk on the air. And I think it was a result of John watching The Greatest Story Never Told. If you got any insight into that, Mike, jump in there.
One quick point is, I believe it was 2014 to 2015 that we had a third party doing our archives, so a lot of those are in the ether somewhere. I don't know if we're ever going to get those back, but the current archives, I believe, are since 2016. So we do have some before 2014. I guess the David Duke may have been included in those interim archives. Yeah, those will be hard to find.
I remember it was the fall of 2015. I believe is when it was, and you can find the headline of it when you search on the internet, but you can't find the actual audio in the archives. That's the thing. But back to our interview and Dennis Wise's new documentary. You and I are watching it, William. We have the DVDs. I've made it maybe halfway through the second disc. There's three discs. It's over 5 hours. And it's very similar to Greatest Story Never Told. Some of the things I want to point out just in general. So Mr. Wise is exposing the Freemason connection and how that, you know, this secret society, very satanic, was behind a lot of the major wars of the last 100 years. You know, the title of it is of World War II, but also they were into World War I. There was the Spanish Revolution with Franco, and there was the war in Mexico in the late 1800s. And one of the themes that I found, that I'm finding so far, I haven't finished it, is that it's basically Masons versus Catholic Church in this, as far as funding. It's sort of... And even an overall, more like a 40,000-foot view, instead of just viewing the Catholic Church, it's Masons versus Christianity itself, and, you know, white Europeanism, which, you know, Christianity would, especially at that time, you know, represent. What are your thoughts on that, on the overall, like, view of the documentary so far?
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly right. You said it exactly. That's the theme. It's the Masons against, you know, it's Jewish Freemasonry, and all of the revolutions that have occurred in Europe and in America, sadly as well. Starting to learn more that this was really against the church, even. The American Revolution, and I know a lot of people are not going to like to hear that, but one of the things that comes up there is Adam Weishaupt, Benjamin Franklin, Thomas Jefferson had praised Adam Weishaupt, who there were some key points that I got to pull up the image, but exactly what's happening right now was what Adam Weishaupt, the founder of the Illuminati, had been espoused, what he was talking about doing. I've got to find this in here somewhere.
There was a glitch in your audio. I heard most of that. Weishaupt, the founder of the Illuminati. That's what you said?
Right.
Yeah. And I mean,
yeah, the key points.
I was just going to ask a question real quick. So what is the Illuminati? And I've studied this even before I was red-pilled. I studied this 20 years back. You know, a secret core group of people that seem to jump from organization to organization. So at one point, I mean, the Illuminati, I guess, were in the Freemasons. Then they jumped into the CFR, Council of Foreign Relations, and then the Trilateral Commission. And so it's like, it's almost like they get into an organization, they use it up for all that it's worth, and then they jump into the next occurring thing. Wherever they see the elites gathering, you know, they jump in that and subvert it. That's my view of the Illuminati. I don't know if you want to give your take on it and then go on with what you were saying.
I mean, just from a 40,000 foot view, I'm thinking more and more that America was set up with the Constitution in mind for them to get launched themselves into power. And then once they had realized world government, because I've just seen so much evidence that these free are all after world government, and they didn't intend for America to be free for us. Once they'd used it up and launched themselves into power all over the world and completed world government, then they destroy America. Because it's no longer useful.
That is a good point.
Anymore.
I got a couple of several comments on that. I'll try to be concise.
Yeah, I'm not
back
attached to that point of view, but I just I'm open to.
No, it's legit. It's legit. I've went back and forth on this. You know, on whether the founding of America, number one, was it scriptural? Because Romans 13 basically says, not to. To honor the government and pay tribute where tribute is due. There really is not a scriptural basis for a revolution, quite honestly. So I struggled with that. And then I struggled with, if America did, America broke away from the British Empire, which was a globalist entity. And so globalism wrong, one world government evil, America broke away from that. So I struggled back and forth with that. You see what I'm saying? I think there's a mixture. I think there's a middle ground there. I think there were elites in the Freemasons and the founding of America that had their own purposes. And then there was the American people, like the, the salt of the earth people of the American colonies that really did want to form a republic, to be self-governing, to base it on Christian principles, and to create a nation such as there never was in the past, and to get away from this globalist British Empire. Because, the British and French empires were starting wars with the Indians in America and doing all of this oppressive things for money. And I think you did have a legit group of colonists that formed the states. They had one thing in mind, and the elites had another thing in mind. Case in point, the states had to ratify the Constitution. So we have the Bill of Rights. Before the states would agree to anything, they're like, look, government, like, this is what we expect out of you. This is what we expect our rights to be before we ratify anything. And so I think you have that balance there of well-meaning Christian people in the colonies that want a Christian-type government that represents them. And then you have elites. Maybe Benjamin Franklin is one of them, who knows about George Washington, and they have another thing in mind. They're just seeing this as a power grab. And, one of the early patriots stated it very well. In the revolution from Britain, the colonists could very well be trading one tyrant thousands of miles away for thousands of tyrants 1 mile away. So I can't remember who stated that, but it was in the movie The Patriot. It's a legitimate quote, and I'll try to bring that up. Anyway, William, your thoughts on that, and then we'll get into this, the meat of this documentary.
Yeah, that's a legitimate point of view. That's kind of the point of view that I've traditionally taken. You know, before I woke up, my point of view, of course, was that America was the best country in the world, and it was the freest country in the world, and you know, the founding fathers were all, you know, heroes. And you know, but then, you know, just going down all these rabbit holes and studying, you do find that mixture there. After reading Manly P. Hall's book, The Secret Destiny of America, that's a not very long book. He was a 33rd degree Freemason. Secret Destiny of America, kind of a little bit eye-opening, tying it into, I don't know, more esoteric stuff like Atlantis and the secret Atlantis, and sort of saying the same thing that I'm saying now is using America to launch the elites into power. I mean, over to here to the getting, you know, they're talking about escaping from religious persecution. What were all the revolutions about in Europe? They're talking about escaping religious persecution in Europe, and then they made up all these stories about the Inquisition and these horrific crimes the Catholic Church committed against people, right? And that's all we ever hear about all our lives, and we know that we're brainwashed with propaganda by this Judeo-Freemasonic education system that took over after World War II. I mean, World War II was really when everything, like the final nail in the coffin, really.
Major turning point. I wanted to mention two things before the break. First of all, that quote of, you know, we're trading one tyrant thousands of miles away for thousands of tyrants 1 mile away. That was from Mather Biles. He was a clergyman in America. He corresponded a lot with Pope Alexander and Isaac Watts. Isaac Watts was a famous writer of hymnals for the church. That was Mather Biles, who did that quote. And that, like I mentioned, that quote was in the movie with Mel Gibson, The Patriot. Mel Gibson actually said that quote. So a little bit of creative liberty was taken there in the making of that movie, but still a good movie. And the quote is very solid. That quote is kind of like the quote that people attribute. They don't know who exactly said it, but to learn who rules over you, just consider who you cannot question. They attribute that to Voltaire, but who knows if Voltaire really said it.
I heard that David Dukes.
Yeah. It's a good quote,
It said to Voltaire. It was a quote from Voltaire, and some people dispute that it was from Voltaire, wherever it's from. The first time I heard it was in the first video I watched from David Duke. When I first got read, it was because I watched the Zio Media Complex video, 20 minutes from David Duke. Somebody sent me that video, and I said, David Duke, what? And then I watched that 20-minute video, and this changed everything. It was a total game changer for me. I mean, just my whole paradigm completely shifted from that. It was like, why can't I see this before? And that was the quote, yeah.
All right, back on the other side of the break.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience-supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Hi, Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our EZ4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC, 417-932-6419.
Back to the William and Jeremy show, and you know, we're just covering this documentary from Dennis Wise. Give me the title of that one more time, William, of this documentary for the audience.
The Secret Masonic Victory of World War II.
Secret Masonic Victory of World War II. And what I like about the presentation is it's exactly like Greatest Story Never Told. There are real sound bites from people in history, and then there are also, sound bites that have been recreated. There are real pictures and videos from history, and there are also ones that have been, you know, recreated, and you can tell the difference. So it's not deceptive in its nature. Dennis is weaving a narrative based on fact, but he's doing it in a way that keeps your attention. So there's audio, but there's also, you know, video, and there's subtitles that you have to read. So it really keeps you engaged. It's not the kind of documentary that you can't just put this documentary on and like be at work, like I tried to do, and I'm like, oh, I can't do this. You got to really be engaged in it. Yeah, you got to read the subtitles, you know, watch the videos to get the full picture, you know, that he's presenting, and then hear the audio clips of both real and recreated clips of people in history. That's what I really liked about it. And that's probably one of the first questions that I would want to ask Mr. Wise, you know, is how did he come up with this idea of presenting it like that? I've seen History Channel documentaries in the past that have done this. And so maybe he got his idea from that. That's what I want to ask him. It's like, where did you get this idea? Because anybody that's watched the History Channel, I mean, you know how they operate, and they're not always on the up and up, but they do put out a good presentation of real clips, audio clips, you know, real visuals, real video, and then also things that they've recreated to further the narrative. So that's something that I want to ask him. But yeah, what's your overall, you know, what is your analysis of his presentation of the material?
Yeah, he goes back and forth with, you know, he'll show clips exactly like what you said. And some of the clips will be the propaganda clips. So he'll go and show the propaganda clips and then show what it really was. And obviously you can decide for yourself, you know, what you believe. But clearly, the propaganda is a lie. That's been completely uncovered. But one good example is one of Hitler's speeches that was mistranslated, where it said that he said, you know, they translated where he was saying that Christianity was, or Bolshevism was Christianity's evil child or something like that. Don't give you that degree. It was such nonsense. I mean, it just makes no sense at all. But they just put out this, you know, Hitler's going to rule the world. And I mean, just this completely misrepresentation of who Hitler was and what he was saying. There's some other there. I've just come across, I just took various pictures of different interesting points as you're scrolling through the text. Cause you are forced to read the text, and you even have to, I slow down so I can really absorb it. So I'll pause it. So it took me longer than 5.5 hours, you know? But I have opportunities to watch stuff. Like if I wake up at 3 a.m, I'm like, hey, I'm going to go spend, instead of just lying awake here for 2 hours, I'm going to go in the other room and watch the rest of this. And it's in 2 hours. Then I was tired and I fell back asleep. But, here's a really interesting point that I didn't know. We'll say it back on the break, I guess. We'll get it back.
Yep.
Boom, 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 boom.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee by going to rbnhemppaste.com and ordering a trial pack of happy packets for $5 with free shipping. That's rbnhemppaste.com.
Extendivite really works. Here's just a few testimonials from Amazon. Patricia, excellent herbal formula. I use Extendivite to keep my cardiovascular system fine-tuned. Brian, I'm using Extendivite, and for me, it has made a world of difference. God made all these nutrients in the ground. Enough said. Cammy, 5 stars. I feel a lot of energy since I started taking Extendivite. TR, 5 stars. All I can say is, Extendivite works. Buy it, try it, and see for yourself. To get your Extendivite today, go to extendivite.com. That's extendivite.com. Or call us at 1-877-928-8822.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Tune in Saturday mornings, 8 to 10 Central, to the Alternative Media with your host, Farron. If you've not been listening, this is some of what you've been missing.
2,000 mules, like you like to say occasionally, Farron, in your face.
They might have a set of lactating mammaries available that could provide milk for their adopted children.
Complicit news media, all pulling off this gigantic fraud.
Rhino, neocon, cucks.
There's this wonderful thing that's called Vote with Defeat. Move to California.
I am a conspiracy factualist, and everyone else is a reality theorist.
Hundreds, if not thousands, of ships came out of nowhere.
Give me liberty, or let's give you death.
Any excuse to go in and kill yourself for this fraud of a government. This goes back 100 years.
When they come for your gold, give them a lead, and when they come for your guns, give them the bullets first. And God help us all.
Back, William and Jeremy on the loose.
But you didn't let the chorus go there, Jeremy. You cut it off. You cut off. There you go.
Oh yeah, I thought we went over.
There we go.
So we're just getting back. This is sort of a for the audience, maybe a little bit of an unorthodox show, but William and I are watching this documentary from Dennis Wise. It's over 5 hours long, implicating the Freemasons in all the major wars in the last 120 years and revolutions. And so we're sort of using tonight.
And don't forget to mention, Jeremy, again, that we're talking to him tomorrow night. We're interviewing him tomorrow at between 5 and 7 Central. Just again, want to remind you, anybody come in late to the show here. We're interviewing Dennis Wise tomorrow night at 5 and 7. And Mike King will be joining us for the first hour.
They're two very colossal names in revisionist history, you know, Mike King and Dennis Wise. And I'm sort of just trying to formulate some questions for Dennis. You know, we've interviewed Mike before, so that's, you know, Mike will be like an old friend. But, you know, question one for Dennis, like, what woke you up? Like, what caused you to do this in-depth research and to question the official narrative, as it were? And then question two for Dennis that I've got so far is how did you decide on a presentation? Because the presentation of Greatest Story Never Told was excellent. As we've discussed, you know, a lot of visual, a lot of subtitles, and a lot of audio. And it really engages the listener. You have to pay attention or you're going to miss it. You can't go get, like, your snack or your favorite cocktail. You'll have to pause it and maybe even rewind several times. Because there's lots of stuff, information, fire hose.
Yeah. No, that's exactly right. I'm really looking forward to, because we've interviewed a lot of people on Revision Media. We've interviewed some people here on your show.
Yep.
But yeah, Greg McGill and I, with Richard Carey's station, Revision Media, which is on hiatus for the last year, we interviewed a lot of people. We interviewed, but we didn't ever interview Dennis Wise. But we did interview Thomas Goodrich of who wrote Hellstorm. Ian Jones, we interviewed him. We had Mike King on a few times. Jim Rizzoli, Monica Schaefer, Rudy Dent. Rest in peace, Rudy Dent. He passed away. And lots of other people.
I've taken some notes thus far on the documentary, and I know we've got a caller, and I want to go to our caller and take more calls. But let me just give some notes here on what I've found has been exposed so far in this documentary. And it doesn't just go back 120 years. I mean, this guy deals with issues in the Crusade. So just some brief notes, very brief and concise. The Crusades exposed European Christians to pagan beliefs. That was one of the things I noticed as they went into the Holy Land. Mm. They encountered many different esoteric belief systems, which probably was a foot in the door you know, for this Freemasonry, Illuminati entity, whatever it is, to infiltrate European culture, right? They exposed things about the Bohemian Grove in the bushes. This documentary exposed that Nagasaki was the center of Christianity in Japan, you know, the second city to be bombed. And so that basically Hiroshima was a distraction, and then they bombed Nagasaki. That's interesting. When you look at this from the full view of Illuminati versus Christianity, right? Then they exposed also with George Bush the Elder in 91, the resolution concerning the Noahide laws, the anti-Christian Noahide laws, and how there's a whole blasphemous theme there in the Noahide laws, but basically saying that Christianity is paganism and that Jesus learned paganism, you know, Mary, Joseph, and Jesus, when they went to Egypt to escape the slaughter of the innocents, that they were indoctrinated with paganism. That's a very blasphemous thing against Christianity. That's something contained in the Noahide laws. Other things that were exposed is the death camps in the wars in Africa, you know, of the Mason Rhodes, Rhodes against the Boers, and how Boers' families were put into concentration camps, women and children, and starved to death and tortured in that war. So, you know, many other things here that I took notes on that we're probably just not going to get to, but one more very, very, very notable thing. The Pentagon, the American Pentagon, was constructed, they began in 1941 when America entered the war. And this was under the overseeance of the Freemason Franklin Delano Roosevelt. And, of course, the Pentagon contains the shape of the pentagram and how that was Masonic and Satanic. As America entered World War II, which was definitely a turning point in global affairs and the way that nations would deal with each other on a global level. So all of these things are contained in this documentary that I found utterly fascinating. And I can't wait to ask Dennis about these. Do you have some comments on these findings? And then we'll go to callers.
There was so much in it that I didn't know, like about the Mexican-American War, and how that was basically the Masons against the Catholic Church in Mexico, right? And how IS became their puppet and outlawed Catholicism and worship of God and punished it. I had no idea about that, right? So a lot of what I think E. Michael Jones would probably really enjoy this, and it would be really interesting to get him, because it really, there's a lot of pro-Catholic kind of, you know, and separating out the bad from the good here, which really disambiguates the sort of like blanket that people throw over Catholicism as a whole, I think, and say it's just evil to its core. Well, from according to this documentary, there's been a lot of infiltration, and it just makes very clear what's happened over time.
To your point of the Catholic Church standing for Christianity and moralism, I mean, I've got to throw this caveat out. Doctrinally, concerning doctrine, I don't agree with the Catholic Church and never have. I didn't even side with the Reformers. I was more on the side of the Anabaptists during that time of Reformation. The Anabaptists were persecuted by both the Reformers and the Catholic Church, quite honestly. So doctrinally, I don't agree with the Catholic Church, but when I step back and try to compartmentalize and view it from a political mindset, I mean, yeah, the Catholic Church did stand for a sense of morality and Christianity as a whole. And I could see the conflict between the Masons and the Catholics and up until at least the mid-20th century, when I believe that the Roman Catholic Church was fully infiltrated, and we see the yield of that today with Pope Francis and his liberal, like, homo-loving policies. But there was a time when overall the Catholic Church did stand for morality and Christendom. So I see that. I'm able to step back and look at that in the light of politics on a global level.
Right. But yeah, so according to this documentary, Pope Pius the 12th, or I forgot what number, but Pius was the last moral pope. And then after the second, they didn't say that, he was murdered or anything. But that's what they think happened, is he was poisoned. But they let him go on after the war to not arouse suspicion. The Masons let him continue to be Pope of the Church, I think until 1958 when his death. And then they had the Second Vatican Council in the early 60s. And then the Second Vatican Council, they made ambiguous a lot of the church doctrine, which made it easy for them to infiltrate and change the rules by making them ambiguous.
So now you have homosexuality, abortion, things like that, and all this degeneracy.
Well, with that, let's go to some callers and get our caller's point of view. Let's see. Going to the call screen now. Vinny, we got Vinny in Indiana up first. Vinny, go ahead.
Hi, Jeremy. Hi, Willem. Hey, I promised you I'd send you an email. I just sent it. I know that Dennis Wise has a new film out, but I kind of want to go back to his first film that was really successful, The Greatest Story Never Told, because in that film, when I saw it, it was the first time I ever heard of the Suvorov thesis, and the Russian goes by the pen name. He's a exiled ex-Russian military intelligence officer, and he wrote several books. Only two of them have been translated in English. He's actually one of the world's most read, most sold military historians. He wrote two books, one in English called Icebreaker, and the other one, Stalin, the Chief Culprit. And what Dennis Wise makes his point is that the reason Hitler invaded Russia was exactly what he said in his statement of war against Russia. He expected Stalin to be invading the West at any moment, and he had to invade first. Otherwise, he'd be totally wiped out. And the Suvorov thesis makes it incredible. You know, it's gotten finally gotten traditional academic support. A book came out last year by Sean McMeekin at Bard College. He said, yeah, Stalin was preparing to invade the West. Hitler invaded for exactly the reasons he said. And the Suvorov thesis, it's really, it makes sense of Soviet communism, why Stalin just wasn't a crazy madman. He was doing specific things to prepare Russia for war with Germany and to get Russia and Germany into a two-front war. And so many things that don't make sense about World War II. You know, why did Hitler not destroy the British at Dunkirk? Why did Rudolf Hess fly to England? Why did Stalin dismantle the Stalin line defenses? All this stuff makes sense once you understand the Suvorov thesis. So it'd be interesting. It's a huge topic, and I don't think, you know, if Mike King asked Dennis Wise about it, you could do 4 or 5 shows, but just to briefly ask him about it, because it lends credence to what Dennis Wise said years ago.
Vinny, yeah. You called in last week and mentioned the Suvorov thesis, and I had never heard of it. And now I came across this week somewhere, and now you're calling back and mentioning it again and putting in the context of what we're talking about, which is really making it come to home. And then you brought up the Dunkirk as well. And Mike King is going to be honest with us tomorrow. He made sense of that incident to me in his book, The Bad War. Really makes it make sense once we realize Hitler was a humanitarian and not a demonic, you know, possessed madman like they told us our whole lives. And that he wanted to make peace with, he thought it was a you know, what, even though they had invaded, he didn't want to kill off 200 and something thousand British fellow Europeans. I mean, he really didn't want to do that. He would rather have made, saw it as a gesture of peace. And some people don't agree with that, but his generals didn't necessarily agree with him on that. But you see how good he was with animals, and he was a vegetarian. I mean, he really was a humanitarian. He was a man who loved his people, and he loved the European people. And he did
something I wanted to bring up.
Just Masonic, demonic, murderous these killers that start these wars in the first place. So we have to keep that in consideration, I think.
One thing I wanted to bring up that Dennis Wise really brought out in Greatest Story Never Told was that Hitler's failure to take Russia was due to Mussolini. Mussolini had invaded Greece earlier that year and got in trouble, and Hitler had to bail him out. And so the whole invasion of Russia was delayed by months, so that Hitler was, you know, there in the middle of winter, basically, as the winter was coming on. And that in combination with the massive amount of funding that the Zionist controlled United States were giving to communist Russia, a capitalist country, giving money to a communist country. Yeah, Mike, skip the break if you would, please, sir. And, you know, that was the perfect storm for Hitler losing and not successfully taking Russia. And had that happened, this is where the accusations of world dominance come in against Hitler. You know, there's a geopolitical alignment there that's always been wanted to take place. It's a natural occurrence, like of Europe, Russia, and East Asia. I mean, that's if anybody could sort of control or make that happen, they could dominate the earth. And I think that's where you get the accusations of Hitler wanting to dominate the earth. If he took Russia, then he would have Eurasia. And that brings us, fast forward to where we're at now. The whole reason for NATO wanting to go against Russia, they don't want a Russian alliance with Europe. They don't want, whether it's economically or whatever, because Russia supplies Europe's gas, they don't want that. And that's why we're seeing the whole conflict in the Ukraine now. Your comments, let's go to William and then our caller, Vinny, and then we'll move on to other callers. William, what do you think about that? And you're on mute, by the way.
Yeah.
Still on mute.
No, I'm back. So there were a lot of ethnic Germans that had moved to Ukraine to help with the farming during the Czars. And they were there being persecuted by the Bolsheviks. They had already been being murdered in the Holodomor. Hitler was well aware. A lot of the world was well aware of what was going on, but the Western media was not talking about it. The Jewish Western media. And while the Jewish controlled Bolshevik government was slaughtering and murdering and torturing and raping the Ukrainian people. Now, you want to stand with Ukraine, then, like the meme to tell you to do, then go back and learn about the Holodomor, what happened there. Then stand with Ukraine. But for what's happening now, Ukraine has been decimated and turned into the playground and the hub of world criminal enterprise for the Jewish bankers, as we know already. So it's a very different place now than it was 100 years ago. But Hitler did not want to take over the world. He wanted to save Europe and the rest of the world from international revolution, international Jewish communism being spread, and what had happened in Ukraine already, and what had happened in other parts of Russia and Eastern Europe already. This is what he was trying to stop. This was the last stand against what's happening to us now. And as a result of the fact that we went and helped the Freemason, Jewish Freemason global elite destroy Germany, the last stand, who was the last stand against this, really put up the last real fight. This is the fruits of what we have reaped. We are reaping what we have sown. That is what we sown. And if you celebrate this war, World War II, as some kind of victorious good war, then you are going to reap what you've sown, because you're deluding yourself. You need to really look into this.
Let's
get
on to our caller.
We're going to talk about it some more.
Yeah. Appreciate it, Vinny. Let's get on to our callers. Dan, James, and Joe, if we can get to you. I apologize, man. We just had too much information in this show. Dan from Washington, come on to the show. What do you got on your mind?
Hey, great show. I'll be looking forward to the interview. I'll just ask him a quick question, and then the other callers can get on. But I've noticed with Freemasonry, Alex Jones used to, blame things on the Masons. But ask him for modern-day examples, because, In a sense, I think Freemasonry is a way for Gentiles to kind of act Jewish to compete with Jewish power. So sometimes I think the Jews are attacking the Freemasons, you know, because that's just another way to keep any Gentile power groups out of power. So is there any modern-day examples of Freemasons? I've seen the Skull and Crossbones with George Bush running for president with, you know, that interview where it was George Bush, Jim Carrey, and Ralph Nader were all Skull and Crossbones, yeah. Which was pretty weird. But, maybe just ask them about modern-day examples, you know. But
that's literally the only modern-day example is Skull and, that I know of, is Skull and Bones and the Bush family. The Masons seem to be sort of irrelevant today. You know, they're relevant in the documentary and you know, 100, 200 years ago and plus. But,
They have TV commercials trying to get people because no one's going into Freemasons, you know? Like, they're trying to recruit people out on TV and, maybe it was the Civil Rights Act, you know, like a lot of these like private golf clubs and things like that couldn't really discriminate like they used to back in the day. But yeah, anyway, that might be a good question, and I'll let the other callers get on. Great show, guys, and have a good night. Thanks.
Thanks, Dan. I'm going to write that down as another question for Dennis. Is the relevance in current year of Freemasonry? Because you don't really see it a lot. William, do you have anything? And we got another caller we could probably get to. And if not, we can go right to James. James in Vancouver. Apologies, sir. You don't have a lot of time.
Oh, hold on. Sorry, I was on mute. Dang it, I was on mute. So, sorry, James. Hang on for a second. Let me answer this.
Kick it to James.
Yeah. So I know there's Freemason lodges in every single town in America, right? So Freemasonry is essentially like Judaism for the Goyim. That's basically what it is. This in the documentary in the third CD goes into this actually pretty well, how Freemasonry is a way for the Jews to get the Goyim to basically destroy themselves by joining these Freemasonic lodges, and you have these different degrees and the lower degrees don't know what's going on, and the higher degrees know somewhat what's going on. Probably even the highest degrees know everything that's going on. I think there's a higher level beyond the 33rd degree. But each degree goes up and more in a knowing, and you know, to the point of, you know, so I know some Freemasons. I know not some Freemasons, but I know some Masons, and they think that they, you know, I've tried to talk to them about this, and they're like, "You're crazy. That's totally not what it is." And it's just like, well, yeah, okay. And they are into it. They've been in it a long time. And they're not going to change their mind about that. And, you know, they're Christians. But they don't know that what they're serving with this is. So on a more like local scale, I mean, they're just, it's all over the place. Now, one example I want to bring up is that I was listening to Diana Ploss, and I wanted to shout out to her. Diana Ploss has been talking to Jim Rizzoli. And you know who Jim Rizzoli is? He's the revisionist who talks about the Holocaust. That's his main point. I love Diana Ploss. I am so happy with her. And she had brought up that the Free Lodge was pushing this homosexual agenda. Oh, we're at the end, aren't we? Sorry, James.
Sorry, college. I had to eat that out. Call back tomorrow. National Intel, 5 p.m. Central. Mike King and Dennis Wise, call in and we'll definitely get to you if we didn't get to you tonight. So tune in. Y'all stay classy.
That went quick.
You're listening to Real Talk Radio. Only on the Republic Broadcasting Network.